This program is intended for individuals who are blind or are unable to read physical print and is brought to you by CABVI's Audio Information Services team.
Hello. This time I will be reading to you Storytime Magazine, the March 2024 issue. Thanks for joining me. Our first story is Worlds of Wonder. It is called The Great Escape. Moonlight hopped across the grass and groomed her glossy black fur. One of the humans had come into her enclosure, which meant there might be snacks. She accepted a slice of apple and nibbled it busily. By the time her snack was finished, the human had gone back inside. Moonlight casually hopped over to the fence. Through the gaps in the wire mesh, she could see lots of lovely green grass. There was lots of lovely green grass on this side of the fence, of course, but the grass on that side looked so much tastier. She dug at the earth with her paws. Could she find a way under the fence? Moonlight scratched away frantically, throwing dirt into the air behind her and sniffing in frustration. The soil was much too hard, and the fence was fixed to the ground with big metal pegs. Someone nudged her in the back. "Hi, Moonlight. What you doing?" It was Avalanche. The other rabbit was bigger than her, with fluffy white fur that was now sprinkled with dirt. Moonlight glanced around to make sure that none of the humans were watching. "I'm planning a great escape," she hissed. Avalanche stared at her with a blank expression. "What's a grape escape? Are there grapes for tea? Did they get away?" Moonlight rolled her eyes. Avalanche wasn't the smartest rabbit in the Warren. "It's a great escape. The no-fur long legs who give us food keep us trapped in here, but I'm going to get out." No fur long legs who give us food is what rabbits call their human owners, if you haven't guessed. "But why do we want to escape from the no fur long legs who give us food?" Avalanche's brow wrinkled as he thought. "They give us food." His white nose twitched. "And treats. And pats." Moonlight couldn't think of a good answer to this. "What a silly question," she scoffed as she kept sniffing the fence. She saw a spot where the wire mesh went along a brick wall. Moonlight stood up on her hind legs and leaned against the wire. If she jumped really high, she might be able to get over the fence and up onto the wall. She could smell delicious herbs up there, too. The black rabbit jumped as high as she could. Her paws scrabbled on the bricks, and she pulled herself up. Moonlight had escaped. From the top of the wall, she could see the whole rabbit run, and Avalanche, who was peering up at her with a worried look on his face. "Hey, Moonlight, what are you doing up there? Did you find escape?" "I found a way to escape. You just have to jump up here." Avalanche heaved his big fluffy body up onto the wall. "Now that we've done our escape, will the no fur long legs who give us food give us grapes?" he asked with a hopeful look. Moonlight twitched her nose. "No, we're free now. We can go where we want and eat what we want. And the no fur long legs who give us food can't tell us what to do." Avalanche stared at her. "So there aren't any grapes?" He spotted some herbs nearby and started nibbling on the leaves. "Never mind, this is tasty." Moonlight couldn't believe how silly Avalanche could be. They had to get away. She hopped out of the garden and onto the wide lawn that stretched off into the distance. She sniffed the air. The bunny could smell many different things. Flowers, the leaves of different bushes, and even the faint scent of other animals. This made her a bit nervous. Rabbits know that they are the favorite food of lots of different creatures. It's great being free, she told herself, but perhaps I should find somewhere to hide. Moonlight took shelter under a bush as evening fell. She heard the know-for-long-legs who give us food make a fuss when they found out that their pets had escaped. Avalanche was easy to find because he was still grazing on the herbs beside the fence. The humans could see the stalks shaking as he chewed them. But Moonlight was far too wily to be caught. She stayed in her hiding place and watched as the know-for-long-legs who give us food ran around looking for her. When it got dark, they went inside the human warren and Moonlight had her first night of freedom. It was wet and chilly under that bush, and there were all kinds of scary noises in the darkness. The rabbit shivered all night long and didn't sleep a wink. I wish I was back in my hutch with silly old Avalanche who makes weird noises in his sleep, Moonlight thought. When morning came, she ventured out to nibble some grass. I think I'll eat some of that nice fresh stuff near where the know-for-long-legs who give us food live, she said. They might catch me and put me back in the rabbit run and give me pellets to eat. And that is exactly what happened. She nibbled away at the nutritious food, happy to be back home. Avalanche hopped over and scratched his ear. Oh, hi, Moonlight, he said. Did you find that grape that escaped? Once she had eaten, Moonlight went over to the fence and looked for a good place to dig. It would be great to get out of here, she thought. This time, I'll make a really long tunnel. At the end of this story is a writing prompt. It says, write it. What would happen if Moonlight didn't give up and kept running? Come up with your own story about how far she could get. Perhaps she could find her way onto a ship and visit a far-off country. Anything could happen. The only limit is your imagination. In the next story is in the Storyteller's Corner. It's called How the Goldfinch Got His Colors. When the world was still new, an angel was given the task of painting the feathers of all the birds. He fluttered down from the heavens with his brush and palette and began brightening up the world. He painted the lordly eagle in glorious golden brown and daubed the peacock's plumes with rich blues and greens so they glistened like precious jewels. The crow he clothed in shiny black feathers that shone in a rainbow of hues when the sunlight struck them. The canary was buttercup yellow, while the jay had sky blue on each wing. The sparrow wore a sober brown, but he had a dapper black necktie at his throat. The rooster was proud and flamboyant, so the angel gave him spurs of yellow and feathers of black and orange, topped off with a fine red comb upon his head. The birds were very proud of their vivid new feathers. I declare that I am the best looking of all, cried the eagle as he fanned out his great wings. Look at the delicate patterns that the angel has painted on me. Oh, no, surely I must be the angel's masterpiece, argued the peacock. He fanned out his tail, revealing dozens of shimmering eyes. Who can compete with that? Who wants to show off all the time? Chirped the sparrow. I have a classic look that will never go out of style. How boring you are, clucked the rooster. The hens prefer someone who isn't afraid of standing out from the crowd. Only one bird didn't join in the boasting. The angel had forgotten to paint the goldfinch, and the poor fellow looked drab alongside his colorful friends. As the angel cleaned the paints from his palette and prepared to leave the earth, the goldfinch tried to attract his attention. He gave a loud chirp. The heavenly being turned to see who had made the noise, but he almost didn't spot the goldfinch because his plumage was so plain. "Excuse me," said the goldfinch, "but could you paint my feathers as well so I will fit in with the other birds? I cannot sing as beautifully as the nightingale or fly as fast as the swallow, but I would love to have a set of gorgeous plumes." "I'd like to paint your feathers," said the angel, "but alas, I have no paint left on my palette." The other birds felt sorry for the poor goldfinch. "The paint on my feathers is still wet," clucked the cockerel. "You can take some color from mine," added the peacock. The rest of the birds joined in the chorus, and the heavenly being was touched by their generosity. "Oh, how kind you all are! I will take a little color from each of you to make this bird look fabulous." The angel picked up his brush and dabbed a little paint from each of the other birds onto the feathers of the goldfinch. He blended the 100 different hues so beautifully that the tiny bird was transformed. The flock gasped in admiration, and the little fellow did a twirl up in the air. He felt special for the first time in his life. His vibrant feathers were a blessing for the goldfinch and the rest of the world as well. It is a wonderful thing to see the brightly colored bird as he proudly chirps his song and hops from branch to branch. And our next story is an awesome adventure. It's called A Kind of Magic. Some kids walk to school, while others catch a bus or take the train. But in 1954, 8-year-old Farouk had to get on a ship to go to his new school. His parents led him through the streets of their neighborhood on the islands of Zanzibar, off the east coast of Africa. At the harbor, ships from all over the world bobbed in the bright blue sea. His father pointed at one ship that was bigger than the rest. "That's the one you will be going on," he said. Farouk didn't want to leave his family. The boy did his best to put on a brave face, but as he hugged his mother and his father and little sister, Kashmira, goodbye, he felt his eyes filling with tears. The voyage to India took 10 long days, and Farouk was miserable the whole time. The movement of the ship made him seasick, and the food they served in the dining hall was bland compared to the spicy lentils and mutton his mother made. The ship finally docked at Bombay, the biggest and busiest city in India. Farouk felt overwhelmed. He had never been away from home before. He caught a train that rattled and jolted its way out of the dusty city and into the lush green hills. He couldn't help thinking that he was getting further away from his family with every mile. What would it be like at his new school? He worried about this for the whole journey. He was also anxious that the other pupils might make fun of his teeth. Would anybody want to be his friend? After a bone-shaking journey, he and 19 other new students found themselves at the gates of St. Peter's School in Panchgani. It looked very nice, with red-roofed buildings surrounded by beautiful green gardens. Above the gate was the school's symbol, a bird rising out of the flames. Farouk knew that it was the mythical phoenix, which was reborn out of a fire. He felt inspired by the wonderful creature. The teachers welcomed the students in and showed them their dormitory. That night, the boy couldn't get to sleep because he missed his family so much. Farouk didn't realize that many of the other boys felt just as lonely as he did. He eventually plucked up the courage to start chatting with the other pupils, covering his teeth with his hand. He soon made some new friends. His teachers believed that the best way to help students who were homesick was to distract them with sports and activities. Farouk tried boxing and chess and ping pong and discovered that he was good at all of them. He also loved to win. Then there were drama classes. Though Farouk felt nervous when talking to others, it was different when he stepped onto the stage. The boy loved putting on costumes and swaggering around like royalty. Even better than drama, though, was music. The students had to take part in choir practice, and that was when the music teacher noticed that Farouk had an extraordinary voice. He hit every note perfectly. "I think you should have piano lessons," the music teacher told him. His tutor taught him about jazz and classical music, which were wonderful to listen to. When Farouk was 12, his friends told him about a new kind of music from Britain and America. "It's called rock and roll," whispered Derek. "The headmaster says it's a bad influence and told us we shouldn't listen to it." Bruce showed him a black and white picture cut out of a magazine. It was of a handsome man with an impossibly cool haircut standing on his toes as he sang with his eyes closed. "That guy is called Elvis. The government wants to ban him because he makes his fans go crazy. He's the greatest music star in the world." This sounded exciting to Farouk. The shy boy liked the idea of people going crazy for him, too. He and his four friends sneaked into the teacher's lounge one night. They gathered around the radio and switched it on. A loud blast of static hurt their ears. "Turn it down," hissed Victory. Derek twiddled the volume knob and then tried to tune the radio. They heard bits of news, an Indian love song, and then there was a rolling drum beat, a loud guitar, and a bouncing piano rhythm that made Farouk want to get up and dance. It was the most exciting thing in the world. He and his friends listened to several rock and roll songs before sneaking back to the dormitory. They were too thrilled to sleep. "We should form a band," Bruce whispered. "I'll be the singer." "I have a guitar," Derek said. "I'll do the drumming," Victory decided. "Farouk, you can play the piano." "But how do we work out the songs?" asked Farang. "Don't worry," Farouk whispered. "I memorized them all." The next evening, the five friends met up in the music room. Farouk sat at the old, battered piano. "Okay," Bruce said, "how do we start making music?" Farouk played some chords in a rock and roll rhythm. "How did you know how to play that?" asked Victory in amazement. "Have you learned it before?" Farouk smiled. "No, I only need to hear a song once to play it." He taught his friends the tunes. None of the others were as good as Freddie, but they made up for it with enthusiasm. From that day on, the five boys practiced as often as they could. The music teacher found a drum kit for Victory to play, and Farang made a bass out of a tea chest, a stick, and a piece of string. After a few weeks, they had worked out how to play a dozen songs. "We should do a show," Bruce said. "But we'll need a cool name," Derek added, "something exciting." "I have the perfect one," said Farouk with a smile. The school fete was a big event at St. Peter's, with lots of different activities. But the teachers were puzzled when Farouk and his friends set up their instruments on a makeshift stage in the school grounds. Their hair was combed into tall quiffs, and they were wearing matching white shirts instead of school uniforms. The kids in the crowd came forward, curious about what was going on. Bruce coughed nervously into the microphone and declared, "We're the Hectics." He yelled the first line of a song to the sound of Farouk's pounding piano. 1, 2, 3 o'clock, 4 o'clock, rock. Victory, Derek, and Farang joined in, bashing away at their instruments. The kids in the crowd cheered as the music washed over them. Farouk's hands danced over the keyboard as he stared at the excited audience. A thrill ran through him. Bruce yelled out to the crowd, "Give a big hand to the king of the piano, Farouk Balsara." The kids clapped, yelled, and whistled. Farouk took the microphone. Playing music made him feel alive, as if a flame was burning inside him. It was a kind of magic. He grinned, no longer trying to hide his teeth. "Thank you, but now you can call me Freddy." What happened next? When Farouk Balsara left St. Peter's School, he went back to Zanzibar. However, the Balsaras had to flee when a revolution broke out in 1964. The family moved to London. Farouk studied art there before deciding that playing music was much more exciting. He joined a band called Smile and adopted the name Freddie Mercury. He also convinced the other members to change the group's name to Queen. With Freddie as lead singer and pianist, Queen became hugely successful. Their music combined many different influences and was incredibly popular. The group scored more than 50 top 40 singles in the UK, and Freddie Mercury became famous as one of the most talented and exciting singers in popular music. Their legendary performance at Wembley Stadium during the 1985 Live Aid concert was watched by a crowd of 70,000 and a TV audience of about 1.9 billion people. Freddie passed away in 1991, but he is remembered as one of the most exceptional performers in rock and roll history. Our next story is in the category of short stories, big dreams. It's called "A Very Whoopee Birthday." Shona Whoopee knew that her sister Molly was smart. That was why she asked her a very important question. What should we get Caitlin for her birthday? After Molly had used her cleverness to steal a magic sword, purse, and ring from a wicked giant, the king had given her and her sisters special gifts. Shona and Caitlin had received big houses, while Molly had been given a castle of her own. "We should get her something special as a present, like a magic necklace or an enchanted brooch," said Molly excitedly. "I'll see if anybody knows where a clever girl like me could find one." First, she went into the dimlight dell where an ogress dwelled. "Do you know of any quests I could go on to find a magic brooch?" Molly asked politely. "I don't know anything like that," the ogress replied, "but have an egg from my giant chicken." It was the size of a football. Molly thanked her before skipping on to the grove where Grandfather Snail lived. "Excuse me," she asked him, "but have you heard of any magic things that I might find? I need a present for my sister, you see."
"No," said Grandfather Snail in his slow voice, "but I can give you some of these lovely mushrooms. I've just picked them now."
Molly thanked him kindly and put them in her basket. She then crossed over the bridge of One Hair and reached the fairy bakery. "Oh, fairy folk, do you know of any enchanted item I could get for my sister? It's her birthday," she said. The flour-dusted fairy bakers fluttered around her. "We don't have any magical things right now," they said in their musical voices. "But please take a loaf of our gorgeous fresh bread." Molly said thank you, but she felt dejected when she met Shona. I didn't find anything special for Caitlin's birthday. But I did get bread, mushrooms, and this egg. Shona smiled. Oh, I think that will make an excellent present. The next morning, Caitlin was awakened by a knocking on her bedroom door. Happy birthday, yelled her sisters. They were carrying a steaming tray. Ooh, crusty buttered toast, fried mushrooms, and a giant omelet for breakfast? Gasped Caitlin. This is the best birthday ever. And after this story is another suggestion. This one says, make it. Breakfast in bed is a treat that is sure to make someone feel special. You could do this for a birthday, like in the story, or Mother's Day, or Father's Day, or just because. Any occasion can feel special. You could make toast, waffles, eggs, pancakes, or fruit salad. The possibilities are endless. Why not add a poem, a story, a special drawing, or fresh flowers to it too? And I think we're going to have to end it there for today. This has been Storytime Magazine, the March 2024 issue. My name is Mary Beth Gianni, and thank you for joining me. Have a great day.